like our pastor. He's faithful. He's a faithful man of God, and I've learned a lot from him. Just, you know, my few short years of being in this church, so I'm thankful for him, and I'm thankful for his family as well. Just over the past year, I've just grown so close to them and seen them in the work of the Lord, and they've really grown close to me as a family. So I want to praise the Lord for them. Turn with your Bibles with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6.
Amen.
And only one verse tonight. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16.
Amen.
And I'm going to start reading in verse number 16. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." And I want to preach tonight on taking the old paths in a new year. Let's
Amen.
Pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time together in your house, Lord. I thank you for those that are here tonight, Lord, that have been faithful to you, Lord God. So I just pray tonight you'd bless. I pray you'd speak through me, Lord. Use your word. I pray you'd be a blessing to someone tonight, Lord. We love and we thank you. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So just a couple of things about this verse in the book of Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah's prophecy to Israel about the northern kingdom, and they've gone into captivity at this point. And what's coming is the southern kingdom of Israel. If you know anything about the Old Testament, what had happened was Israel, this was God's prophecy to Israel, and they had begun to go away from the Lord. They went away from the Lord. And God said, judgment is coming, and that's exactly what's coming now in our time as well. Judgment is coming, because God doesn't play around. But Israel, they were God's people in this time. It was Israel and then the rest of the world. And they were pagan. They laid in sin, and God chose this one country, and God used them, and they blessed him, but they turned away from the Lord, and they turned and they started worshiping like the world began to worship. But God constantly warned him. If you look, there's several prophets in the Old Testament, and God used them. God told them to preach, and they preached the word, but Israel would not hearken. So right here in this verse, look again, he says to ask for the old paths, and where's the good way, and walk therein. So he says, choose the day like the days of old, and before this was King David and his reign. And
Amen.
We see righteous people, righteous men of God, who led and set the example and did what God asked them to do.
Amen.
And so I want you, we're not going to turn back here, but I want you to turn back to the book of 2 Kings. And we won't be back to Jeremiah. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 18. And I'll give you a minute to turn there, but it says, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign." Verse 2 says, 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And verse 3 says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did."
Yep.
Verse 4 says, "He removed the high places and break the images, and cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan." Verse 5 says, "And he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him in all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him."
Yep.
Now we see here, this was before Jeremiah, and it says, and we see this is Hezekiah's reign. And verse 2 and verse 5, look in verse 2, it says, we can see he wasn't very old, but he was wise. Because in verse 5 it says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. And that's God's standard, not the ways of this world. This world will say you need a degree and you need this amount of money. But the Bible says to be wise, all you got to do is trust in the Lord God. And that's what he did. That's what Hezekiah did. He lived by faith. And the Bible does say it is, without faith it is impossible to please him. But Hezekiah trusted in God. And look in verse 4. So you see, Hezekiah gets into office. You see, and he starts to change things. He starts to clean it up and make the right decisions.
Yeah.
And I praise God for that.
Amen.
And look in verse 4, he says, "He removed the high places and break the images, cut down the groves." See, these are all graven images. And Israel, out of all the world, Israel knew not to make graven images. They knew the Ten Commandments, they knew the law of Moses, and they held to it. That was what they held to.
Yep.
That was the commandment of God. And I want you to notice something in verse 4. It says, "He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan." And I want to talk about this serpent for a while today, tonight. But if you know anything about this serpent, hold your place here, and I want you to turn to the book of Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers chapter 21. And Numbers chapter 21 verse, I'll start reading in verse number 5 for sake of time. And Numbers chapter 21, verse number 5 says, "And the people spake against God and against Moses, where have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel died." Verse number 7 says, "And therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people." Yep. And the Bible says in verse number 8, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, he shall live." And so this is the same brass serpent that they were talking about in 2 Kings number 2. But what happened was they took this brass serpent. Now, if you know this story in Numbers, Israel had just won a battle against the Canaanites, and mm-hmm. and you see there's no resources. They had no food and they had no water. So, like God's people do oftentimes, they started to complain. They started to blame God for what had happened.
Yeah.
When it was their sin, first they were complaining.
Yeah.
So God sent judgment. He sent these serpents, and
yeah.
Moses, their leader, prayed for them. He prayed for them, and he made an intercession for him. By the way, that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're supposed to pray for one another,
yeah.
and bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what the Bible says.
Yep. Yep.
But Moses prayed for them, and God told them what to do. God gave them a remedy, if you will, for what this. He said, "Make this brass serpent and set it upon a pole." Now, that was in Numbers, and back in 2 Kings, what had happened was thousands of years passed. They started to worship this brass serpent. They put it in 2 Kings. It says they started to burn incense to it.
Uh-huh.
They were serving strange gods. What God had meant for good, you know, we see in this same brass serpent was referenced to in John chapter 3. Jesus said, "As the serpent was lifted up, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whosoever believeth in him." And that's where we get John 3:16. But this serpent, what we see from here is what God meant for good, God's people over time had perverted it.
Yes,
they changed it.
That's right.
And God says, go to the old past. Take ye the old past. He said, you see, they were starting to worship, but they started to pervert with the word of God. Now, what does that mean? Now, you see, turn back to 2 Kings with me. Chapter 18. It says the serpent, that's the serpent Moses made, and we see here Israel started worshiping it. But this is our case in 2017, and we see going on to 2018. It says what God has given to his people, we now use for we pervert it, and we've changed it over time.
Uh-huh.
And God's saying, take the old past, use the old past.
Yep, yep.
And in this new year, if we're going to do anything for God, if we're going to serve God, we have to take the old past.
Right.
See, because church nowadays is not, to any person on the street, they're not, their idea of church is not what we have as church. It's not our church. It's new, it's perverted, and they've changed everything. But look in verse number 6 of 2 Kings 18, talking about Hezekiah. It says, "For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses."
Yeah.
You say, what was different about Hezekiah? He kept the commandments of the Lord.
Yep.
He went to the old paths. He followed after David, the Bible says. And so how are we going to do that in this year? Number one, we're going to have to know the Bible is the eternal word of God. Look in verse number 6. It says, "He clave to the Lord, departed not from following him, and kept his commandments." What's gone wrong with us? What's changed in our church as we stop following the commandments of the
Amen.
Lord?
Amen.
You know, the commandments of the Lord are all going to be in this Bible.
Yep.
It's not going to be out of anything else. You're not going to... I don't see people getting saved reading it in NIV. I mean, you don't get saved reading ESV or Dewey Rames, nothing like that, but... What's gone wrong is God's people don't read our Bible.
That's right.
And you say, you know, you can stand up here easily and say, "Oh, you know, I love the Bible. The Bible's the eternal word of God." Then why is it sitting on your coffee table while you're watching, you know, ungodly filth on TV?
Oh, man. Come on.
And you say, "I love the Bible. I love the Lord Jesus Christ." But then you go home and what's that filth on your TV? What kind of music are you listening to?
Yeah.
You see, we don't need anything new. I don't know about you,
Amen.
But I don't see the need for anything new when something old is doing the job.
That's right.
I don't know
That's
about
right.
that, but again, Amen. people might get saved reading an NIV, but I don't know that. I can't prove that. What did David say? David said, "I have not proved them." When he tried on Saul's armor,
uh-huh.
he said, "This is not for me. I have not proved it, but I proved this book. I've only
Amen.
Been saved a while, but I know
Amen.
This book will save. This book will grow someone,
yes,
Lord, because it's the eternal word of God."
Amen.
He trusted in the Lord, verse 6, and like I said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And
yes, sir.
I was talking when I worked with Brother Ben. I was talking to a coworker, and he, you know, supposedly Christian. That's, you know, I'll leave that up to the Lord. But he said, you know, I'm just, you know, living by faith. And he would always talk about faith, but he didn't even go to church. And that kind of just rattled my bones, Pastor. You know, I like to keep calm, but that's one of the things that rubs me wrong when people talk about faith, but they don't even live for the Lord. I don't know about that. Yeah. Don't talk about faith when nothing's changed in your life since you got saved. That's not faith.
That's right.
Number one, the Bible is the eternal word of God, and I'm on a time crunch right here, so I'm going to try to speed through these. But number two, God's word is what's going to clean us up.
Yep. Yep.
Look in verse number three. The Bible says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did." He started to clean up Israel because he got rid of all these idols. He got rid of all these false prophets, these false idols that Israel was worshiping. And, you know, every day, hopefully, you brush your teeth, you change your clothes, you wash your face, you know, that kind of stuff. That you clean up. You clean up.
Yeah.
But God's word is what's going to clean us up in here. Because no other book is going to do that for you. That's the word of God.
Amen.
Like I said, you clean up, you wash your face, but that was the only thing that's going to put a true smile on your face. It's going to put joy in your heart. And you change your clothes, you know, hopefully. But the Bible's the only thing that's gonna change a lost person and put that godly apparel on them.
Amen.
That's gonna take the pants off the woman, put it back on the man where they belong. That's a testimony right there. That's living by faith when you start doing things God's way.
Yes.
You hear the word of God and you act on it. That's faith.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You brush your teeth every day, hopefully.
Yes.
But
Amen.
The Bible is the only thing that's gonna really take the filth out of your mouth. You got a sailor mouth? No. The Bible's the only thing that's gonna put that again, that joy in your heart, and you'll be our conversations in heaven, like Brother Jose read earlier.
Amen.
Number one, the Bible's the eternal word of God. Number two, God's word's what's gonna really clean us up. But look at I want you to notice something in verse number four. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces that brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Number four, he called his sin what it was.
Amen, brother.
He didn't call it addiction. He didn't call it a dirty habit he had to break. He didn't, you know, he wasn't gonna. He called it sin.
Yeah.
It was sin.
Yeah.
There was idolatry. It was sin. He didn't say, "Oh, you know, I'm leaning off of it. I'm trying to get off of it." No, it wasn't an addiction. It was sin.
Yeah.
Number four, three. He called it sin what it was.
Yep.
Nehushtan is in Hebrew. It means just a piece of brass, and that's what it was. Because God had used it. He did utilize it. And we read back in the book of Numbers. He used it, but it was just a piece of brass. It wasn't to be worshipped. God never said to worship that. But that's what people have done today. That's what Christians have done nowadays. Church is not what it used to be. They're playing rock and roll in church. You're not going to hear rock and roll in this church. Not as long as I'm on that piano. You're not going to hear that in here. Not that garbage. That's not church. But he got the sin out of his life. And if you're going to prosper in 2018, you're going to live for the Lord, do things God's way, you got to get the sin out of your life. There's a difference between sinning. You know, we sin, like Pastor talked about in Sunday school this morning. We sin and then we get it right. We get under the blood. We confess our sins and forsake them. But there's a difference between sinning and living in sin. And God says, you can't prosper if you're living in sin.
Yep.
The sin would have affected everyone, by the way. He ruled over that country. He would have, his decision affected everybody.
Yep.
And he decided to get those idols, get the false prophet. He got them out. He called his sin what it was.
Yep.
Number one, the Bible, we have to know the Bible is the eternal word of God. And we have to keep his commandments. And number two, God's words were really going to clean us up. And number three, he called his sin what it was. So, leaving you with that, I want to just, you know, leave that with you. If we're gonna do anything for God in this next year, we're gonna take the old paths. It's gonna be the old paths, because the old way is what works. Nothing, none of this new stuff is gonna work. So.
Yeah.